The Bible is the word of Almighty God. Therefore, it does not need to be defended, only understood. The purpose of this program is to present to you, our viewers, the key to understanding the Scriptures. There is within the pages of the Bible itself a God-given design for studying the Bible. All the confusion that exists within Christianity today is the result of two failures. Number one, ignoring God's design for Bible study, and number two, failing to believe what the Bible actually says. We remind you of what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5:18, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall abide forever." We're instructed in Romans 3:4, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." We are informed by 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And as well, God tells us how to study His Word in 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's God's design, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not according to your liking, not into verses you want or don't want to obey, but making distinctions where God makes distinctions. Obeying that portion of the Bible that is specifically addressed to us today. Now, here is our teacher.
I'm Pastor Ron Rose, and I'm happy to be with you today on the message of grace. We want to talk to you this afternoon about the issue of reconciliation, God's program of reconciliation for mankind. I want to read to you from a passage from which we'll draw our text and from which we'll understand this issue of reconciliation. It's found in your Bibles. If you have your Bibles, I would that you would maybe get them out and maybe get out a pencil and pad that you might want to take down a couple of notes. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19, it says, "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation." It says, verse 20 says, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." As we talk about this issue of reconciliation, the word reconciliation has to do with God bringing the world, mankind, back into a favorable relationship with himself. And we need to understand this issue of reconciliation because it involves each and every one of us. It's not just some religious matter. It involves every one of us. One of the first things we need to understand about reconciliation is that man needs to be reconciled to God and not God to man. You see, it's man who left God, who went away from God, and he didn't just go away. He went away, and he also went away in rebellion against God. So that's the difference between man being reconciled to God. You see, if anybody's going to return, it has to be God returning to man. And it cannot be God returning to man. It has to be man returning to God. God didn't go anywhere, man did. And we need to understand that. In our text, it presents to us something that God accomplished through Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. I want to go and look at a couple of verses to show you man's condition. I want to go over to the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and point out something about the condition of mankind today. In Ephesians chapter 4, here Paul writes to the believers, but it's something that he says to the believers here about unbelieving Gentiles. In verse 17, Paul says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." Back up in verse 17, the verse says that Paul says, "I don't want you to walk as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind," the emptiness of their mind. And the obvious issue here is that the Gentiles who are lost walk without the knowledge of God in this world. In verse 18, when it says, "having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them," we can see that it's ignorance that separates man from the life of God. As we talk about this issue concerning reconciliation, you need to remember one thing. And I know what the Bible says in Isaiah about how it is when God spoke to the nation of Israel about sin separating them from him, and how his arm wasn't too short where he couldn't reach them, or his ear too heavy that he couldn't hear. That wasn't the issue. One of the things about mankind is that sin today isn't a thing that separates us away from God. You need to remember in the book of Genesis, when Adam and Eve had sinned, you need to remember who came looking for who. God came looking for Adam and Eve. Eve and Adam did not go looking for God. God sought out Adam and Eve even after they had sinned. So we can see that even after Adam and Eve had sinned, that God Almighty, went looking for Adam and Eve. So that leads us to know something about God. Even in the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ came to seek and save that which was lost. Even though men were in their sin, the Lord God Almighty in the person of Jesus Christ, he continued to pursue after man. What we learn from that, people, is when we think about the issue of reconciliation, God has provided reconciliation for all men. And the only thing that keeps us away from God, that keeps us bogged down in our sin, is our willingness to remain in our sin. You see, God has settled the difference between himself and mankind. God has settled that difference, and this is the issue of reconciliation. God has provided reconciliation, and God offers reconciliation to all, you see. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18, we just looked at those verses, and God says that the Gentiles who know not God, they walk around in the vanity or emptiness of their mind. They walk around void of the knowledge and purpose of God today. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. I want to go over to the book of Romans now and point out something to you about where alienation originally took place and what reconciliation entails. If you just come over to the book of Romans, chapter 1, in the book of Romans, chapter 1, you'll notice something. Sin originally, when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, no doubt they fell. The Bible teaches that they fell into sin, and they were separated away from God. But you'll notice here in Romans chapter 1 and verse 19, it says, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Now, this period of time here, the verses we just read, covers a period of time in our Bible from Genesis 1 over to Genesis chapter 11, when we can see and read from the scripture here that God gave man up. If you drop down to verse 24, you'll notice it says, "Wherefore God also gave them up to the uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever." Notice verse 26. "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature." Verse 27 says, "And likewise also the man, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet." Notice verse 28. "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." In verse 28, you can see that it says they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Therefore, we have the ignorance that is alluded to in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Now, this retaining God in their knowledge, it had to do with them knowing God, knowing something about God, and yet turning away from God in rebellion in spite of what they knew. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21, you'll notice it says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Now, that's important that we understand that. And this issue about reconciliation concerns each and every one of us. And I can tell you this today, you may think that you may not need to be reconciled to God. But I can say this to you to leave you without any doubt to whether or not you are a child of God. You know, it's a common conception that everybody is a child of God. Well, I can say to you without reservation that the Bible teaches that that isn't true. We may be all a part of God's creation, but we are not all children of God. I can say to you that God doesn't have any children going to hell. God doesn't have one child who will go to hell, you see. But yet, there are people going to hell. So obviously, we are not God's children. Now, it's important to understand that, and you may be one. You may be watching this telecast, and you may not know that you are one of those who may be on their way to hell. And the only way you can get out of that is to accept God's plan of reconciliation, you see. It's mankind that went away from God, and we have to accept God's plan of reconciliation to be reconciled or returned or restored back to a position that is favorable to God Almighty. Now, one of the things here I want to point out to you is that regardless of your religious background, the things that we do, you know, sometimes we think attending church puts us in a right relationship with God. Sometimes we think giving money puts us in a right relationship with God. And sometimes we think even selling and providing for those who need food and clothing and that sort of thing, we think that that puts us in a relationship, a good standing with God. And it does not, you see. What puts us in a good standing with God is the work that he did on Calvary's cross through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now, you'll notice here in our text in 2 Corinthians, I want to go back over there to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You'll notice that passage says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. God was in Christ and he was doing something there. God was working in Christ while he was on that cross. God was reconciling the world unto himself. And the verse goes on to say, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. God was in Christ. When Christ was dying on that cross, there was a work being done, and God was drawing, he was placing this world back into a favorable condition whereby he could save mankind. Now, I need to say to you that God, as he was doing this work in Christ, reconciliation, there's an offer made to all mankind, but it doesn't cover every one of us like a blanket. We don't have it automatically. Each and every one of us on an individual basis are not automatically reconciled to God. There's a personal reconciliation. Here's the provision that God made for each and every one of us in the Lord Jesus Christ and through him and by him. Now, you'll notice in this text, you'll notice that it says that God has provided something for us, and it's up to us. It's up to us to accept God's offer of reconciliation. Now, many of us, as the nation of Israel did, were going about to establish our own righteousness and have not submitted ourselves unto the righteousness of God. The Bible teaches that today in Romans chapter 4 and verse 5, it says, now to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. His faith is counted for righteousness, not his works, but his faith. Now, what's important here about the issue concerning reconciliation, people, is that Adam's sin in the beginning basically put all men in the same position as far as God is concerned. Now, the reason I say that is because when Genesis chapter 1 through 11, you have God dealing with the Gentiles. And from Genesis chapter 11 on, in chapter 12, God begins with Abraham. And from Abraham, there comes the nation of Israel. And from the nation of it, from that time, Genesis chapter 12, all the way over to Acts chapter 9, at least, before God raises up the Apostle Paul, God dealt with a nation which in the Bible is referred to as the nation of Israel. Now, it's important to notice that for God to offer reconciliation for the world, and here's a dispensational difference here, for God to offer reconciliation to the world, he had to alienate himself from the nation of Israel. He had to alienate himself from all legal contracts, covenants, and promises that he had made with that nation prior to turning to the Gentile nations to offer them reconciliation. The prophetic program of God had stated, all the prophets stated, that the way the Gentiles would be blessed would be through redeemed Israel. Israel would be redeemed, and they would bring God's blessing to the Gentile nations. Well, that didn't happen in the day, you see. Contrary to popular opinion, when the Lord Jesus Christ came in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he did not come offering reconciliation to all mankind. When the Lord Jesus Christ came, and we find him there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in his earthly ministry, the Bible says in John 1, 10, and 11, that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Jesus Christ came unto his own people, you see. Over in our text, it's important that we understand this issue concerning reconciliation and the dispensational differences. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 22, God says, in Adam all die. even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now what that verse is talking about is the redemptive issue in Jesus Christ. God sees two classes of people on planet Earth today, and that's all he sees. Those that are in Adam, and the scripture says in Adam all die. And it also says in Christ shall all be made alive. Now you're in one of those two people. Both of them stand as federal heads in God's purpose and plan. And if you're in Adam, then the Bible says in Adam all die. Even so, in Christ shall all be made alive. You see, you stand in one of those two people. God sees you as having a relationship with one or the other. Every one of us, I can say to you, that have been born on the planet Earth, were in Adam. Can I say to you, if there's been no time in your life when you've made a conscious decision to trust the Lord Jesus Christ and make him your personal Savior, that you're still in Adam. You don't wind up in Christ. You don't wind up in Christ by giving money, by attending church, or just doing good deeds, you see. That isn't his plan of reconciliation, you see. Men try to return to God, but they want to return on their own terms. They want to return the way they want to. They want to do things that they think are acceptable to God and then look for God to accept them. And he just won't do it that way. God has a plan of reconciliation, and we'll have to return based on what God said. Now, these two classes of people, you and one or the other, if you're born again, if you've trusted Jesus Christ, that is, put faith in him, put faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the finished work at Calvary there, then you're in Christ. No doubt about that. But if you haven't, then you're in Adam. I don't care what religious act or rite you may have done or been a part of. You may have been baptized. You could speak in tongues. You could do a lot of different things. But if you haven't trusted Jesus Christ, then you're still lost and you're still on your way to hell. You need to, the only way that's going to change is you believe God. Take God at his word, and God's word says that we're all sinners. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 teaches us that, I forget what Romans chapter 6 teaches us. Let me see it here. Let me go back over to the verse and get it. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, a verse I've quoted a thousand times or more, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Jesus Christ our Lord. In Romans 3:23, it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us, and we all need to be reconciled to God. That is, restored, brought back to a favorable relationship, you see. God has provided reconciliation for all. God has provided it, but you need to understand that there is an unlimited provision, but a limited application, you see. God's offer of reconciliation must be accepted before we can be brought into the family of God. It happens no other way. You'll notice here that there are four different types of reconciliation, and I want to point out from the scripture here that there are four different types of reconciliation. And since we're talking about reconciliation, I also want to point out to you that there's no such thing in the scripture as universal reconciliation before we close out here. Reconciliation doesn't cover all of mankind like a blanket. There is an unlimited provision, but a limited application. There is no such thing as universal reconciliation. The four different types of reconciliation are, number one, there's the reconciliation of the world, which we have in our text in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19. You'll notice it says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. That is, that God has placed the world back into a favorable relationship whereby all man now can come to God through what Jesus Christ did on Calvary's cross. That doesn't mean that all men are automatically reconciled to God. That's a work that God did to fix it so this world, mankind, can be restored. The second one is the reconciliation of individuals. That's over in the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Over in the book of Colossians, chapter 1. If you come down to verse 21, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Now, that's number two, and that's each individual. As we accept God's reconciliation, you'll notice in verse 21, it says, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. The third, reconciliation of both Jews and Gentiles in one body. We need to go over to the book of Ephesians in chapter 2 and notice that one. The book of Ephesians chapter 2. You'll notice if you come down to verse 15 and 16, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. The last reconciliation is the reconciliation of governmental positions. If you come back over to the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 1, and let me point this out to you, what God is doing today with this issue of reconciliation, how God has provided in Jesus Christ, how one day he will once again regain authority, complete authority in this universe. You'll notice down in verse 15, Colossians chapter 1, and we'll start at verse 15. Notice what it says. Who is the image, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and in earth, and visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Verse 18 says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him, notice, to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Now, the issue in that passage that I just read, people, and we talked about that fourth issue there concerning reconciliation, is the reconciliation of the governmental positions. And we can see that God has reconciled, or made possible to reconcile the governmental positions back unto his authority. You see in the passage when he says in verse 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. That issue there is that through Jesus Christ and what he accomplished on that cross, he's going to reclaim the authority over the universe, you see. Well, I can say to you, my friend, that this issue concerning reconciliation, you may think it not important, but it's important. It's important that you realize that if there's never been a time in your life when you know that you trusted Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, then you are yet alienated from the life of God. You need to be reconciled. You need to be restored to a favorable relationship. And I know that there may be some of you watching this radio, this television telecast, and you may be thinking to yourself, who, me? Alienated from the life of God? Why, you just don't know what kind of life I live. You don't know what kind of things that I do. Well, it doesn't matter what kind of things you do. The Bible teaches us that salvation today is not a work. Reconciliation is something that God has done. Think about it for a moment. When we think about the issue of reconciliation, don't you think about... I think about a relationship that's gone bad between a husband and a wife. And sometime the husband will leave and he'll come back. And he'll come back seeking to be reconciled to his wife, you see. He'll want to come back, whatever the terms were, he'll want to come back and he'll want that relationship to be a favorable one. That's true reconciliation. If you don't come back to a favorable relationship, then that's not real true reconciliation. The other thing about reconciliation, people, that's interesting is that you cannot reconcile friends. You can only reconcile enemies. Did you know that? Only enemies can be reconciled. You cannot reconcile friends. Now, it's important to know and understand that you as an individual may be an enemy of God, whether you realize it, whether you understand it, or whether you know it or not, or whether you believe it or not. Based on what God's word says, you're an enemy if you haven't trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. You're an enemy in rebellion against what God is doing. As we go about to do our own thing and establish our own lifestyles apart from God and without God in our lives, then therein is revealed our rebellion and our hatred against what God is doing today on planet Earth. And we need to be restored. We need to be brought back to a place of fellowship and friendship with God and get rid of that enemy status. That's what 1 Corinthians 15:22 talks about. In Adam all die, even so in Christ you'll all be made alive. You see, God wakes us up down in our spirit. That's where we're God conscious. And God wakes us up down in our spirits. And once again, fellowship is restored. but you have to be reconciled. You have to accept God's plan of reconciliation and not our own, you see. And I know, as I said a minute ago, many of us think that it's what we do that merits salvation with God, or earn us a right or a position or place with Him, but it doesn't. I want to just read you one other passage from the book of Romans in chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I want to just read verse 1 to 5 here. It says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." The verse says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We don't have peace with God based on what we do. We have peace with God, and we have justification by or through our Lord Jesus Christ, you see. Many of people are seeking peace. They're seeking happiness. They're seeking everything else, and in their quest to be satisfying in the sight of God. But the only thing we can find that the Scripture says will give us that is to come to a place of understanding that we need to be justified by faith. And that verse says we have peace when we do that with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to read one other thing, Romans chapter 5 and verse 10. "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." I just say to you that you want to be reconciled. You want to know the Lord Jesus Christ before it's everlasting too late.
We hope this program has been an eye-opener to you. We are not out to destroy anyone's faith, but to establish your faith upon the truth. Only then will you experience real liberty. The truth shall set you free. If we can be of any further assistance to you, we would love to help you. Or if you would like any of the free literature you see on your screen, you may call or write Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Our phone number is area code 313-778-5032. Once again, that's Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Area code 313-778-5032. This program was presented freely to you in cooperation with this local public cable station. Thank you for sharing this time with us. Join us again this time next week to learn more about God's message of grace. Until then, this is Daniel Schulert speaking for all of us at Grace Bible Church, praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being lightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe.